I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
We acknowledge the traditional owners of country throughout Australia and recognise their continuing connection to land, waters and culture. We pay our respects to their elders past, present and emerging. Hello there and welcome back to another exciting episode of This Song Is Yours. I'm your host, Simon Fink, and today we're in for a treat as we sit down with the exceptionally talented Australian singer-songwriter, Asher Jeffries. Hailing from the vibrant music scene of Brisbane, Asher Jeffries is gearing up to unveil her highly anticipated debut album, Ego Ride, later this week. Recorded at Prawn Records in Brisbane, this captivating record is a testament to Asher's raw talent and unbridled creativity, with none other than the legendary Sam Cromack from Ballpark Music at the production helm. We're lucky enough to have Asher herself joining us on the podcast today to give us the inside scoop on all things Ego Ride. From the exhilarating highs to the introspective lows, get ready to delve deep into the heart and soul of this mesmerizing debut album. In today's episode, Asher opens up about her journey to this pivotal moment in her career, shedding light on what inspired her to finally take the leap and share her music with the world. We also explore the transformative power of music in overcoming anxiety and embracing vulnerability as a songwriter. Also, let's not forget the music that unfolded in the studio with Sam Cromack. Asher shares her insights into the collaborative process, revealing how working alongside Sam as both a producer and fellow songwriter allowed her to uncover the true essence of each and every track on Ego Ride. As we look ahead to the future as well, Asher gives us a sneak peek into what fans can expect from her upcoming tour, teasing the electrifying live performances that are sure to captivate audiences far and wide. Now, before we kick things off, make sure you subscribe to This Song Is Yours on your go-to podcast platform. Stay tuned for more fantastic episodes throughout the year by following us on social media. Details are waiting for you in today's show notes. We also want to extend a huge thank you to Elise for her invaluable assistance in bringing today's episode to life. Details on where you can purchase and stream Ego Ride can also be found within the show notes as well. So let's get into it and dive headfirst into the mesmerizing world of Asher Jeffries. Please welcome back to This Song Is Yours, Asher Jeffries. Asher, hello. How are you?
Hello. I'm great. How are you?
I'm doing very well, thank you. Thank you so much for spending some time with us to have a chat today. I appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
Of course, my absolute pleasure. We were just having a very quick word before recording that it has been a few years in between our conversations. I think we had a chat on your last EP and the single Crybaby, and now we're here to have a chat about the brand new debut record, Ego Ride, from yourself. Congratulations.
Thank you very much. Yeah, I feel like not long after we chatted in 2021, I decided to stop a career in music. Not because of our conversation, I want to say. but it just came about that I stopped kind of wanting to release music. But then classically enough, what happened since is I am releasing an album.
Look, I'm glad that we're getting the album. I'm glad that it's kind of playing out in a way that we now get to enjoy this record. I'm very excited for you, and it is a fantastic record. It is Ego Ride. It does come out later this week. For anyone who's listening to this podcast, and we'll put links in the show notes where people can be able to stream the record once it's out, but also pre-order it and buy it. How are you feeling with it coming out now? Because I imagine that there's a multitude of feelings and kind of emotions that come with putting out a debut record.
Absolutely. Yeah. I'm mostly just feeling very sentimental and feeling very proud of the last couple of years. And being able to be in this moment where not only is it done, but it's a couple of days before it's released. So it feels really, really special.
Of course. I think it's actually really lovely that you've used the word proud. I think that a lot of artists that we speak to, and whether it's legitimate nerves, whether it's they've done so many interviews that they've got, you know, what they need to say down pat, but it's rare that I've heard someone use the words proud. And I think that it's really lovely that you have, because like it is a thing that I think most artists should be. And you, with this record, with Ego Ride, you should be very proud of this record. It's a stunning collection of songs. So I'm glad to hear that that has kind of, I guess, resonated within yourself, that emotion.
Thank you. Yeah, I think I'm mostly just proud of, and yeah, I feel like making any body of work is a total journey, right? Mm. It's like lots of ups and downs, just having and investing in a project just generally. And I think I'm proud of the journey and the ups and downs. And to finally be at this point of the journey is really, really cool.
Of course. Well, again, I'm excited that you're here to kind of chat with us about the record. It is a stunning collection of songs, as I've said. For you, I'm curious, again, we spoke regarding one of your EPs. There's been two EPs. Was there a defining moment for you that you knew you were going to start writing the album, when it kind of clicked that this is what it was going to be?
Yeah. Well, briefly before, I touched on like this thing of like, I don't think I'm ever going to release music ever again. And I think that's when I actually started to write music that I really, really enjoyed, funnily enough, when I decided to quit. And so I think it was kind of a very transformative part of my life where I realized that the songs I was writing, I felt really connected to. And I think it was about January 2022. I was like, okay, I think it's time for me to invest in recording these songs, and not necessarily to release, but to have for myself. And that's kind of how it came about.
It's funny that you kind of say that. We've recently had a number of artists on the podcast. We actually did an interview only this morning with an artist who said a very similar thing, in terms of they considered kind of shutting up shop, maybe that the career wasn't for them. And once that occurred, it was almost like a tap kind of opened up and had this reverse effect of there's a sense of freedom in not putting that kind of pressure on you. Is that, I guess, what you found in terms of that opening the floodgates to putting less restrictions on yourself?
Yeah, totally. And I guess like it puts you in this perspective of not writing for anybody else, like always kind of writing for yourself. And all I was doing was writing with the intention of healing and trying to gain some understanding of what I was experiencing in my life. So it all kind of selfishly very, very much became about me, which I felt like the songs turned out really honest. And that's kind of why.
Of course. I am curious, is that, I guess, then where the title for the record came from? It does appear, it took me a little while to get it, and then reading through lyrics, reading through other bits and pieces and listening to the record, which we were very lucky enough to have a listener, so thank you for that. It's almost like a little bit tongue-in-cheek, in terms of that these songs, what did you say? I think there was a quote from yourself. Upon reflection, you realized a lot of the narrative from the record was tied to your ego on both positive and negative sides. Is that where the title has come from then?
I would say so. I think I spent a lot of time trying to understand like why I called it Ego Ride, because it felt really right. And I knew it like encapsulated like what was on the album, but I had to really sit down and think about it. So, but I think like Ego Ride was the last song on the album, and it's the last song that I recorded. It nearly wasn't on the album. And I think it's a song about, it's a reflection of, I guess, like a lot of scenarios that happened that like placed in other songs across the album. And it feels like this big summary of the songs I'd written about. And I think Ego Ride is really just about how we can tie our identities so much to our lives and like who we're living with and who we're dating and like where we're living, all these things, like we attach ourselves. And this thing of being able to like truly find who you are outside of all these like attachments.
It is a stunt.
It's broad.
But I think that's kind of why it works as a record title. It is something that can still be very open enough to interpretation, but obviously, as you say, kind of encapsulates these songs out of curiosity, and we don't have to dwell on it too long. Because I know some people do tend to have like a notebook or a notes app or something that might have alternative titles. Was there anything that kind of maybe had another...
Yes, I had a notes app. Let me just quickly get it. I know that one of them was I tried to give up, but the world wouldn't let me. And I said it to a friend, and they just looked at me and they were like, no. They were just like, no, that doesn't work. Let me look it up. I think one of them was also Crumble. That was one of the album titles. Mm-hmm. And also Deeper, that was an option as well. Okay. But nothing quite felt like it ever resonated until Ego Ride came along.
I think Ego Ride is very suited to this record. And also, I feel like, just as a very quick side note, the first one, the World one, that almost sounds like a very, like a third or fourth record kind of title.
Okay, no, I totally get you. Yeah, it has like Bjork energy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
100% yeah. Agreed, yes.
Yeah.
I know that you worked with the lovely Sam Cromack from Ballpark Music on a number of these songs, I think for most of the record, if that's right.
Yeah, we made the whole album with Sam, yeah.
How is that working relationship with Sam? Obviously, both brilliant songwriters in your own right. I'm curious how that works when you go into the studio with these songs and kind of record with him. What is that dynamic like?
Totally. I think like Sam is a total legend. I've looked up to his songwriting and, you know, he's been Ballpark Music for so long, like since I was like 14. So being able to just make music with him was really awesome, and he's so encouraging, and it felt so pivotal working with a songwriter as a producer, someone who like can really like listen to a song of yours and really like kind of relate to like what kind of space I was in when I was writing it. And he's just incredibly intuitive and empathetic and just knows how to like make recording music fun, which I think was the most important part of the process for us.
100%. It's a very interesting point that you just raised, because sometimes a lot of producers, yeah, they're not songwriters themselves, so it's kind of coming from a different perspective, and they don't quite have the, I'd say, tools to be able to maybe not even relate, but again, help you or guide you to it, to that point that you need to be. I would love to, and I don't know if we actually discussed it last time, but I'd love to discuss your first interaction with songwriting and kind of what originally got you into songwriting.
Yeah, well, I've probably definitely spoken before about how I really wanted to be like a celebrity or a pop star when I was younger. And I think I just realized that like the only way that I was going to become a pop star was if I wrote songs, because like that's what you have to do. You have to have songs to be a pop star. Mm-hmm. And so I just like became obsessed with writing little poems and rhymes together. And I could barely play an instrument, and I just remember like playing some piano chords and writing absolute bullshit. You know, like, you know, kids when they like write songs and they sound really serious, but they have no idea like what it means.
That the depth is somewhat lost on.
But no, that's how it started. And then it became less about wanting to be a pop star and wanting to like, I guess, express all the teenage acts that I was going through.
I think that's very, very fair. I love that. I am curious, do you remember the point of changing? Do you remember the point of, because I think for a lot of people, as you said, when you're a kid or like a very early teenager sitting down to write songs, there's three chords that sound good, maybe like an E minor in there somewhere.
Yes.
And like lyrics that are very surface level. Do you remember that point that kind of changed for you where you thought, I could actually kind of do this and I'd seem to be good at it.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Yeah, I think I realized that it was more about the feelings that I had and wanting to express them and realizing I think I could do this because I feel like I feel very passionate about wanting to like write these words down. I remember going to Woodford Folk Festival and I was like 11, I think. And I kind of came across this singer-songwriter called Jack Carty, who's Australian, and he's just a really incredible writer, and becoming like obsessed with like his music and how heartbreaking and honest it was. And I like got all of his albums on CD for my birthday that year. And I think that was a point where I was like, okay, these are real people who are like writing real music. I think I can do this.
I think that's actually a fantastic example. A few people we've spoken to have had interactions or just been influenced by the lovely Jack Carty. I think
no way.
What is it? Is there a song like if he wrote like Elliot Smith, or is it there? I swear there's a song to do with Elliot Smith that I think he does quite well. But
true.
I absolutely love that. We'll have a look outside of recording, and I'll send it through to you. But
yeah, please, yeah.
I was hoping that you might indulge us on this brand new record. There's a lot of fantastic tracks, and again, sonically, it does sound so good. I think that there's somewhat of an evolution in sound since those previous EPs. It sounds like there has been like a step up in sonics and in the production, and that might be from both yourself and Sam. Golden Hour, I was hoping you might talk me through, because I kept returning to that track. The second half of that track, listening to this record on headphones and just kind of having it kind of like blow open. Anyone listening to this podcast, by the way, please put on some good headphones when you listen to this record, because it's fantastic. But yeah, when that second half kicked in, it was just kind of, I stopped what I was doing and just kind of like stared through the wall. I was wondering if you might, yeah, talk us through that track and how that came to be.
Yeah, well, that's so lovely. Thank you so much. That means a lot, because yeah, I really love Golden Hour. It doesn't feel like it's, I don't know, I love its placing within the album. But that song is a really good example of Sam being an awesome producer in a way that he is a songwriter too. And I brought that song to him really early on when it was just me and him, and I went into the studio just to play him some songs and talk about maybe making an album. And I played him Golden Hour. And I think he told me this, like, I think a couple of years later, like recently, he was like, I could kind of see like how raw the song was for you at that time. And I don't know, I think he was just, he knew the placing in terms of like how much space and how intimate to make it, but also how it has to really like emerge as this like this bigger soaring thing at the end of the song. Mm-hmm. I think, yeah, the production really, really represents just Sam being really good at creating intimate moments and then letting things just like burst open. Like one of Bullfox's songs called Cherub is just like a huge example of that, where it just explodes at the end.
True. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think, totally Sam's doing.
Well, I'm curious as well. I think in doing prep for today, having a look at, I guess, the different not necessarily methods, but I think for some of the songs that they did almost come to like quite a finished product relatively easy. I think if I read correctly, I think Tank Tops took like 30 minutes or like just over half an hour to write, whereas some other songs took a little bit longer or took a lengthy amount of time. For you, how confident, I realize this sounds like a loaded question and I don't mean it as such, so I can reword it
how
if you'd like.
How confident are you?
But how very much back in the day, and we won't even talk about it anymore after I say this, but like as a songwriter, found that was not confident in taking finished songs or what I thought was finished to the producer or to someone else. And I'm curious for you, because like Tank Tops, fantastic song, extremely impressive, written and finished in like 30 minutes. For you, like how is that thought of like taking something that is finished? And then as said, like Sam at a different point later on was like, I could see where it was going and what it needed to do to get there, if that makes sense.
Oh, wow, totally. It's a really vulnerable thing to share a half-finished song with someone. Like that's a vulnerable thing to do. So it's like, this is kind of like what I've made, but it's also like not exactly it. And I think like, you know, being open to suggestions as well. Like that's what a half song, half-written song is, basically. You're saying like, hey, like, I want to work on this, but I think I need your assistance. So that's vulnerable. And I think with Tank Tops, like I'd written like the lyrics very, very quickly. Like they kind of just all came out. And I think I was pretty like set on everything in terms lyrically and just the energy of the song. And I actually took it to Aiden, who produced and mixed the Pinnacle EP, and we did like production work on Tank Tops, and then ended up recording it live with Sam. But actually, to switch it into a different gear and different song, a song called Spinning was a half-written song that I brought to the band and Sam, which was incredibly vulnerable and scary, and I hated it. And it also like turned out to be one of the most awesome days in the studio, where we kind of brought two half-written songs together of mine and created Spinning. So it's kind of cool what you can do when you're vulnerable and open to it.
100%. It is almost going back to what you said right at the top of our chat. I would love to know, speaking of like pride and being proud, is there a song, because also I feel like saying, what's your favorite song on the record is always an unfair and unintelligent question. Although you might have a favorite, and also that's also fair. But is there a song you're most proud of on this record? Maybe one that you feel encapsulates you at this moment the best, or one that you probably know more better than anyone, the journey that it went through from start to finish, that you're like, yes, this is me.
It is a really difficult question, just because it feels like all of the songs I have like a different, unique relationship with, you know?
Of course.
But I think currently, like I listened to Spinning the other day in the car. I just put on a song just because it's easy. Like when you listen to the mixes and so many times, you kind of like can like disassociate or disconnect. And so I put it on, and I don't know. I feel like that song for me is a really a huge moment in the album, and it was a huge moment in the process of making the album. I think we were like 6 months into making it, and it was one night after we had a rehearsal at the Ballpark Music Studios, and I stayed back and played piano and wrote that song. And it was kind of this moment of like, holy shit, like things do get better. Like I can't believe that I'm like in the Ballpark Music Studios writing a song about like the things that are going on in my life. And it just felt like a really pivotal moment. And I'm glad that there's a song that I'm able to mark that moment by.
Of course. Well, thank you very much for sharing that with us. Because again, I know that we've talked about vulnerability in this chat, but even opening up about things like that and kind of sharing the stories behind are also a form of vulnerability. So thank you so much for doing that.
Oh my God, my pleasure.
I know that there's a number of dates, I think at the end of this month, in support of the record, starting off with, I guess, is there a track from the record you're looking forward to giving either its live debut or just getting it to be able to play it live now that the record is coming out.
Yes, totally. I love playing Brand New Bitch live.
Mm-hmm.
Feels like a song that was really made to be played live. And yeah, we've made some alterations. Is that a word? Alterations.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a word. Alterations to the song. And so, yeah, there's a bit of a breakdown and some cool things that happened in that song. I'm genuinely excited to play live.
Nice. I think it is always fun when you can kind of take songs out and mess with the arrangements, mess with how they are kind of built and reshuffle them, reform them to something that also keeps the interest of the band and the artist as well. Because I think that a lot of the time, and don't get me wrong, gigs are for the punters, but also it's nice to be able to have the musicians engaged and not doing just the same thing time and time and time and time again.
Yes, totally. Yeah. It came about from like having to play a really late night set at like 1 a.m. And we were like, how do we make the set feel more exciting and like more of a party set?
Mm-hmm.
And I was just like, okay, Kalia is the drummer. I was like, you're going to do a drum solo, like right in the middle of the song. Just like trying to switch things around, make it interesting for everyone.
Well, look, I'm very excited to kind of see what kind of different arrangements or surprises we do get on this tour. I do have to ask, because I know we've only got 3 dates this month. Can we expect,
yes,
and we don't have to share any further details, don't want to get anyone in trouble, can we expect more shows around the country possibly as the year goes on?
Oh, yes, because you're in Adelaide, right?
Oh, correct. Good memory. Boom.
Yeah. I guess the honest answer is I don't know, but I really hope so. I hope that, we do more of some extensive touring in Australia, hopefully in the later half of the year. That would be incredible.
Well, look, as you've mentioned, fingers crossed for Adelaide and for other cities as well that don't get a look in this time round, but we'll make sure all the cities that do, their ticket details and venue details and everything else on where people can buy tickets are in the show notes for today's podcast. Asha, I wanted to ask, we would usually ask our guests what they're currently listening to. Is there anything at the moment that's on high rotation for yourself?
Yes, I'm listening to a lot of Phoebe Go at the moment. I'm really excited for her album to drop very soon. I'm listening to Alexander Biggs. He just put out a new single called Pocket Protector, and I'm obsessed with that. So much new music lately. I'm also listening to Waxahachie's new album.
Brilliant.
And Adrian Lenker's new album as well.
Absolutely. Very solid choices. Extremely, extremely solid choices. Actually, when you did say the word crumble before, I know you probably meant it more in the sense of breaking down. For whatever reason, my brain went to the Phoebe Go record Marmalade and thought like food crumble.
Yeah.
Maybe that says more about me, but.
No. It absolutely. Crumble is just. It's everything. It's the essence of humble. Yeah.
Look, Asha, thank you very much for sharing those choices with us. I do appreciate it. And thank you very much for having a chat with us today on the new record. Ego Ride is out later this week. As I mentioned, we'll put all details in the show notes for people to buy the record, stream it, find where you're touring. But thank you again.
Wonderful. Thank you so much for having me on.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.